We will then await a response. There are quite a number of questions, and I hope. How many are you? It's yourself and the commission, and the other members of the board. So how you then respond and delegate? Who responds on what? It's up to you. Okay, you may start.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks very much for the questions from the members and the concerns and some of the comments that we have received. We acknowledge that, but also, Chair, we just want to indicate to the members that it actually pains us that we have been going through this disclaimer for so many years, and we are trying as much as we can. I just want to go through to the point that has been belabored on around the responsibility of the board and its functions, including its accountability, because and we note that even if we are advisory, we still feel that we have that fiduciary responsibility to make sure that things happen properly. Chair, I think one of the advices that we have done to the minister to deal with our, should I say, incapacity, you know, to do some of these things was that we thought that the first level was to create this charter, where then in the charter we have some of the different committees that will then do the work for us, formalizing that. But the second leg was that, as I indicated earlier, that we have a quiet bill that is going to come before yourselves. And prior to that, we then thought that we wanted to advise the minister that this board becomes an executive board. And unfortunately, our interaction with the minister was that it is therefore not possible. The only possible thing is that we need to then strengthen ourselves. And that's why then we are trying to do that. So that incapacity, Chair, is also making us not to deal with some of the issues. Lately, in February, we also had a meeting with the previous minister and the DG, where we indicated that some of the challenges which are administrative, and that is something that is delegated to the DG in terms of the Act, which says the DG needs advice, but that advice was not necessarily coming from the board. It was just that the commissioner would do that advice. And hence, one of the responsibilities, the last bullet point, we then agreed with the DG that we will then begin to provide those administrative advice to him and do that. And I think we are now going to put that in the charter, because it's not yet in the charter. So we're going to put that in the charter then to make sure that we deal with that. So, and we, you know, it's a struggle, Chairperson, where you have, and I think I'm not going to throw all the things and the fights that we have with the board and the management, but that's also around that, because for management and ourselves, we want to follow what the law says, which says, you do your work up to here. So we are requesting, and I think one of the advices that with the deputy minister here, we had a meeting where we said the minister will have to have, with this crisis, and I think one of the members says I can't remember the word, but we are in a serious crisis as the compensation fund, is that we are going to make sure that we have quarterly meetings with the minister, this new minister now in the new administration, so that we try to make sure that we deal with these issues. And then the first thing, we're going to have a workshop with him to iron out the turnaround strategy, to come up with key activities and deal with the disclaimers from the Auditor General, and probably in the next time you will then hear us that these are some of the things that we are dealing with. And I'm happy that the members want to help us to make sure that as the board we can do some of our work. I mean, we were explaining to the minister, for instance, that yes, we know some of the queries about fraud in the fund, but because it's an employee of the fund and then we don't have jurisdiction to immediately do consequence management towards that, we're not able to do that. We still have to take it to the Department of Labor. Department of Labor must request so and so. So it's a long, and that when the minister told us that we need to cut the red tape so that we deal with those issues. So Chair, I thought that let me just broadly deal with the issues around the board, and we accept your comments. And maybe also Chair, one thing that which is not enough, yes, but just the numbers. The board is constituted by 16 members, and 5 of those are women. So we are not doing good about that. Yes, we agree with you. So this five need to increase a little bit, and we will, so that we can at least get to a point where we are properly represented there. So Chair, the investment, the Commissioner will deal with some of the questions around the cost of Umehluko, and the other members will also deal with some of the questions. I thought let me deal with this one. Thank you very much, Chair. Members.
I would assume it's you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just respond to the questions that were asked by Honourable by Graham with regard to Umehluko. So the first question was that how much are we spending on the... So there was an issue of the e-comp, easy and equite. So we use the words interchangeably. Equite is the modernization project of the compensation fund. And one of the projects within the modernization is the development of the claim system. The claim system is called Comp Easy. The difference between what Comp Easy, which is what we've just finished developing now, and Umehluko was that Comp Easy, we procured the SERP software licenses and we now configure those for our claims purposes. Whereas with Umehluko, we actually were using a system that is owned by Rand Mutual Assurance, and we're using it under license. So for them, we're then paying for the use of the system, not necessarily for ownership of the system. Over the 5 years that we've used Umehluko, we've paid 215 million for support maintenance of the system over the 5 year period. With the system that we bought and that we just configured now, the SAP system, we have spent about 120 million on the system. So the difference is that now we own the system and the system is ours. Honorable Bagrame asked what would be the difference, because we've been talking about Umehluko, we've been talking about systems all the time. One of the things that we've done differently here is that over time, there was a point that was raised by the board in the presentations around the poor configurations of the systems that has led to all these weaknesses in controls. We've tried to adopt the best practices that come with the system and also the internal controls that are inbuilt in the system as we procure it, because the systems are built based on years of best practice. So that's one of the things that we've done differently, Honorable Bagrame, with this particular implementation of the system. And you asked also how far are we, because we said the system is going to go live in August. We've actually just gone live with the system. We're using a phased-in approach. We started first with the claims registration process internally, so that is being rolled out in the provinces internally. We will be releasing the system to the external public for employers to be able to register the claims themselves from the 20th of October. And then we'll also then release for medical practitioners to be able to submit invoices directly from the 28th of October. So the system has already gone into production, and we have effectively decommissioned Umehluko with effect from the 12th of September. I think I've responded to... There was also the issues that were raised by Honorable Kado with regards to the issues that were raised by the AG with regards to the amounts I highlighted on the on the annual report. Now, the issue that the AG had with the amounts that we've disclosed is the fact that we pay claims out of the Women's Legal System. And because of the weaknesses that have been identified, the control weaknesses that were identified in the system, then the AG then said that they cannot really place full reliance on the amounts that are coming out of the system because of those control weaknesses. It doesn't necessarily mean that the 5 billion rands that we've paid in claims and so on may be... So they're saying some of them may be fraudulent, or we may have, because of the breaches in the controls, it may be that we have not paid the people that we needed to pay. So that's why they would then place a disclaimer on all the figures. And when we use the outstanding claims reserves that we put on our balance sheet, also come out of the information that we derive from the claims data, which the AG did not want to place reliance on. So these are some of the things that we've actually addressed in the new claim system to make sure that all these control weaknesses that have previously been identified have been raised by the audit committee as well. Honorable Ndabe spoke about the issues that the audit committee raised about the weaknesses in control and our inability to address a lot of those things. We were mindful of the fact that a lot of those issues, we will address them when we move over to a new system, because we cannot... We have proved that Women's Local does not allow us to be able to address a lot of those issues. That's the reason why we took a decision to move away from the system and develop a new system that will then have all the controls that we need. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Before you, there's a gentleman at the back.
Right.
You want to
add on the question, on the answer to the question.
And they will then
all right, let me try.
Yeah.
No, that's why it's making noise.
As long as you, the mic is on as you speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, on the audit report, I mean, somebody mentioned that we're supposed to sign off the audit report as a board, and that's what the Auditor General is saying. Now, the challenge you're sitting with at the moment, and hence we're making a distinction between an executive board and an advisory board, because in terms of the idea, almost all operational responsibility lies with the Director General. He's an accounting officer. Now, therefore, there's nowhere in the... And then it says that, the Act says that, thereafter, the Director General will give that report, that audit report, to the minister, and the minister will present the report to Parliament. You see what I'm talking about? So, and like you're saying, it has been a very painful process of establishing a charter because of these reasons. We were told in no uncertain terms by the state law, by everybody, in terms of interpreting this act, that look, that's not your role, that's not your role. Okay? That's the one thing. But nonetheless, we're saying we have not seen the report. Those issues that have been reflected from the audit report is something that we still go to attend to. In fact, I was specifically delegated to meet with management of the fund and specifically understand exactly what is happening so that then we can have measures of intervention. But insofar as like the slide that was talking about non-capacity by the board to intervene, there may be a language problem, but the point you're making here is that currently, for example, in another board, for example, if you sit in that board, if a COO misbehaves, you can quickly take him to or her to a disciplinary hearing in no time and dismiss that person. Now, with the fund, number one, what you need to do is to go to the minister, and thereafter, the minister go through all the processes. That's the kind of constraint that we're talking about. Perhaps the issue was, there may be an issue about the language, but the point we're making is that it's a constraint to the board.
Can I just ask a question? Because the more you speak, the more you make us to be, me in particular. If then that has been a situation of yourselves to be a toothless, if I can use that term, a toothless board,
yes,
in an entity that is managing huge sums of money. You can't tell me that it is only now in the sixth administration. I don't know how long have you been board members.
Okay.
Can't tell me that it's only now in the sixth administration that you are considering, should I say, you are requesting to be an executive board all the time. Take away the issue of the language, which I still want to contest. But the question is, you have been there, not only now,
yeah,
after May. You have been there for some time. I don't know how long have you been members.
Okay.
Have you been board? And it's only now in the sixth administration that you think there is a need for you to be an executive board. Because I was going to ask a question. If we're in the worst situation, as what Honorable Ngwezo was saying, I was going to say, write me a letter and tell me why shouldn't you as the board be dismissed. I'm just making that example. Because really, so as you'll be rounding up that question that says that, didn't you say the need in all the other? Yes. I only came here in 2009. I'm making an example. From 2009 up to now, I've never heard that Labour is going to introduce an amendment or on how the board of the compensation fund is to be and therefore be elevated to a status of being an executive board. That we have so made me to understand. I may have missed it. I'm coming from science and technology and what is this and health. Because I want you gentlemen, because you are gentlemen and a lady, this thing is serious. If it wasn't because it is the first time that we are interacting with you and the issue of the status would have said to you, pack and go and come back when you, because that bullet point in 10, it's speaking volumes, Deputy Minister. And I think as members of Parliament, in the history that we have been exposed to in terms of boards in other areas, we can't because it's also about our integrity as members of Parliament who are conducting an oversight on this. So that is the question. Before that, I think, is it related to?
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think the more we allow people to try and give explanations on this thing, it spoils the whole, you know, purpose of this meeting. I think really the first whether respondent, if that is good English, but the one was presenting and the second one, were really, you know, spot on. Because if now we want to start shifting the blame to say we can't buy it because before we buy it, we must then send to somebody else and do that and that and that. We want now to blame the minister. If we can say provide any advisory, you know, that you have given for all these years, will you do that? So I think that we need to agree that, okay, we have a problem. Now, how to solve the problem? We need to be assisted. We need to be assisted.
well, we will assist you. Then, because they know the problem, they will then say, part of the problems why we can't, you know, work, you know, effectively is because these are the problems. Then we attend to that, you know. But I really don't think this meeting is a meeting where we should shift the blame to the minister and all that, because I really don't believe that these, you know, these problems have existed since 1994. I don't think so. So trying to shift blames really, you know, will end up, you know, going to where you say, if it wasn't for today's engagement, we will do that. Because any engagement in this meeting, you know, you must try and give us confidence, you see, as the portfolio committee. So if you respond, you know, because this, some of the responses that are coming is that, no, if these things doesn't change, things will stay like this. If that section that we are not executive board, we are advisory board, does not change, then things will still face the same problems in the future. But at least we are doing something. You don't give us confidence. But you need to reveal the problems, then say to us, in light of this problem, this is what we recommend. Then we'll deal with that in trying to assist the board. Thanks.
That is saying this. But maybe my question to you will be answered at another time. Because I think in all what he has said, I think it's really important to then begin to say what you saw, you were there. So, okay, fine, now we'll allow the department to. Because at the end, the buck stops with the department, because this is your entity.
Chair, if you will allow me, I think the Deputy Minister will give us a clear indication of the way forward for this particular board and also for the UIF board. There is just one question that I don't know whether the Commissioner responded. I didn't hear a response. And that was the question around whether people from foreign workers, whether they can benefit for how long, etc. I don't know if the commissioner responded. If not, can he be allowed to just respond to that question, please, Chair?
Before, maybe the Deputy Minister will respond to this. Sorry about this. It's something. If a board is an advisory board, is it paid for? Are they paid for their sitting? Will you please respond to that? When you
Honourable Chairperson, board members are paid for their sitting by their entities.
Pardon my ignorance.
Thank you, Chair. So all people who are employed in any company in South Africa, irrespective of their nationality, they have coverage of compensation for occupational injuries and diseases. In an event where a person is deemed to be permanently disabled and qualifies for a pension, we then also, if a person resides in a foreign country, we then pay the pension monthly through the embassies, or the people have a choice to elect to commute their entire pension at the time when they leave the country, but they do qualify for all the benefits.
Oh, all right. Can we... I think the Honourable Ngwezi have said it, because the more we ask questions, the more we become shocked, the more we are not going to... So, the responses and the presentations, I can see that you are insisting. Do you want to?
I just wanted to make one remark, if I may, and that is I don't think we ought to lay the blame at this commissioner's door He inherited a very fraught and destroyed system when he came in. So I don't want to leave everyone with the impression that we're attacking the commission and blaming the commissioner. We're not blaming anyone. I think the system was destroyed before this new regime came in, when the new commissioner arrived. So in his defense, thank you.
You know, as I've said, the more we talk, the more we speak, the more we comment, the more we open up we are throwing a cat within the pigeons. Safe to say that we have got this, and our responsibility and our legacy as this committee in this sixth administration is to then, when Parliament rises in 2024, we're able to say, in all the work that we have done, with the challenges that have been there, this is what, and we have to be live to that fact. I agree with you, apportioning blame is not going to, except that I will also ask the same question to you. Where were you in the last administration, that is on a lighter note. Is there something that you were done? All right. We are now going to... The chairperson of the UIF did explain to me that maybe the confusion that they have made is that it didn't say that is an introductory. It's opening remarks. So... But we'll take that apology, and also ourselves will say fine, because you were going in your remarks, you were going into some of the things that were a bit confusing to us. There is this that has been circulated. Because if those were opening remarks, I think I agree with the whip. A remarks that are quite intense, if that is the correct word, which are forcing us to look into them and look into the presentation, which we didn't have much time to go through them. I'm not quite sure whether there are those people who are fast readers and there are those that are not very fast, and there are those that understand some of the issues in the sector. I would like to share the joke between the two of you, Mike. I'm reading this. Can we? I hope, have members gone through this? Okay. I don't want to disadvantage people here. It's quarter past 12. That's 15 minutes, just go through. And then after that, because on a serious note, it's quite intense. Thank you. But at 12:30, we'll come back. Yeah, it's fine. You can go out now. If there's one time that I'm not going to permit you to leave, it's... Come again, with your bag. I will find you if you are not back. Thank you.
Это дополнительное решение.